I'm speaking with Anne Hensley and Emily Kastner, both of co-directors of Read and Write Kalamazoo. Now, if you can tell me your titles, your roles, and how you met. I understand it's in a writing workshop. How did you get this effort together?
Well, Emily and I have been working in writing workshop together for, I don't know, 5-6 years, something along those lines. And it's a group that has met somewhat regularly for more than a decade now. And when Emily moved back from San Francisco, she came into the group and we just immediately took to one another and became fast friends. And we'd known each other before that. And so we both were inspired by this educational model, 826, which is a national network of reading and writing and tutoring centers. And so we both separately had been inspired by this model and just thought it was perfect for Kalamazoo.
Tell me a little bit more about this model, 826,
yeah.
Emily.
So it started in San Francisco. Dave Eggers, the author, started it. And so, yeah, they hold after-school tutoring, writing workshops, just getting kids writing outside of school and supporting what's actually happening in the classroom. So the program's really grown as far as what they offer to their students. And they do satellite homework help at libraries. They do workshops. And it's really all about tapping into the community. And so they really rely on a strong network of volunteers who come in, who are there for the after-school homework help. They're running and facilitating any workshop that they have, volunteering behind the scenes and stuff like that. So we're trying to just use that model in what we're doing, too. So we're really relying on the community of Kalamazoo and talented artists and writers who are coming to us.
And educators from every level of education.
So at this point, then, let's go ahead and talk about, do you call it ROCK or is it Read and Write Kalamazoo? How do you refer to it?
ROCK. More often than not.
Yeah.
It's quick. It's
R-A-W-K.
Fast.
Yeah. It's a fun acronym for the kids, too, for the students. And it's memorable. But
people ask questions about it, too. Some of our t-shirts just say ROCK. And people are like, what's that? And so it's a fun conversation.
Good icebreaker right there. Yeah. So tell me how you started it and why. What was it that you felt in the community was missing that you wanted to fill?
My husband worked for a time at KVCC, and I got to know a lot of instructors at KVCC and at Western. And Emily was a high school teacher, and we know a lot of educators, and we were finding that at every level, instructors and teachers were saying, people are coming to me not ready to write at this level. And so it was kind of going all the way down the line, and we recognized that the promise is an incredible gift, but if students aren't prepared to write when they get to college, they're not going to have success. And so we felt like some other community response. Families are doing what they can. Schools are upping the numbers of AP classes that they offer. There needed to be some other community response. And there are all these places. We have an incredible literary culture in Kalamazoo, and we have a huge educational culture. And we felt like this 826 model was kind of the perfect conduit for all those places to come together to offer a different level of support over the entire youth and the entire education of each student. And so we could see the need in the income gaps or the gaps in achievement in lower income students. We could see the need in first generation college students whose families weren't able to prepare them.
So what's going on, Anne? Why is it that is this a new phenomenon? Is it nationwide that kids are, and we're not talking about just very young kids, I assume we're talking up to high school, are losing their writing skills? What's going on?
I feel like,
is it texting? Is it that we're not reading the same way?
I feel like it's economic pressure on families. I feel like there's not a lot of time to devote to reading and to study. And there's not, I think we're all stressed. We're all tired. And there's not a lot of individualized assistance and support for students, and classrooms are larger.
And time spent in the classroom, you know, it's changing as far as, you know, what needs to happen during the school day, during the school year, as far as testing and you know, curriculum standards. And so what we do is supporting what's happening in the classroom and giving a lot of that individualized attention that's, you know, there's larger class sizes, all mm-hmm. of these things play a part in, you know, why there is this achievement gap and why there is a need for organizations like us to really come in and be able to support based on the standards, but what's happening in the classroom and what needs to be happening outside the classroom.
Are these students, say, good in math or in other subjects? I'm just trying to figure out, is it specifically writing and reading where the suffering in academia is happening?
And with reading and writing, I mean, that really goes across the board as far as all content area. You know, you're reading and writing in math, you're reading and writing in social studies and everything.
True.
And so it's really like this foundational thing that if you're struggling with that, if that's not something that you're focusing on, if your family doesn't necessarily know how to support you, you know, that's a thing where it's like, that if you don't have that, then it's hard to be successful in any subject. So mm-hmm. really it's about that foundational support and working with families and kind of demonstrating, you know, how to support your student, how to support them. So and that writing is fun.
So you don't just work with the children, you work with the families, the parents as well?
Well, the one time that we do work one-on-one with families would be our Build and Write series, which is with preschoolers. Preschoolers come with a parent or a guardian or someone, an adult that's important in their lives, and they write stories with them. And so just modeling that, like, we're all storytellers. And in our workshops, we're not necessarily working with the parents, but what's happening in the workshops, you know, we are modeling as adults, supportive adults in the community, that we're writing right along with the students, you know. So it's not like school. I love school. I was a teacher for a long time. And so I'm not bashing school, but, you know, it's not like school because there's no grades, there's no pressure. You know, it's fun and we're writing about fun things. But it's also that knowledge is sort of seeping in, the soft skills that we're always all mm-hmm. about supporting. And so, and then they have adults in the community who are there who aren't like, you better do your work, you better do this. They're just writing with the students and there to just help in that way.
And what kind of age groups do you work with?
Pre-K through 12, so all the way through. And another important point is that we always focus on projects. We publish things with students or we have a reading event. And especially the publications and the readings, they bring the community around to support the voices. So they may not be working in workshop with their parents, but their parents and their grandparents are coming to a reading and hearing them read their work, and their voices are being validated by this.
I was going to say, that's got to be very validating.
Empowering.
For a child. Scary at first.
Sure, sure.
But when they get up there and read and they get family and friends applauding. And mm-hmm.
And I get sometimes tunnel vision about achievement gaps for low-income families. And recently we had a mother contact us who, they're not in that situation. They're well off. They're fine. And she acknowledged that her child hadn't found her niche. She's not a sports person. She's not, you know, she just hadn't found her place. And she's very shy and very quiet and demure and was on a stage with a microphone reading her poem up in front of everybody. And so
she's like, she found her people.
Yeah, she found her people. She found her place. She found her voice. And so it's about education, but it's so, so deeply about the soft skills and the communication and the quality of
your life
and relationships.
So it's not just helping them with homework, but you're encouraging creative writing in general.
Yeah, and we're encouraging engagement and communication and that sort of connection that those relationships can yield. So
we've been slowly, you know, growing in what we're offering as an organization. So what we do is, because you said, who do you work with? And so it's pre-K through 12th grade. And what we do is every semester we offer a workshop, a creative writing fun workshop for certain age groups. So we like to touch every age group in the semester as of now. I mean, eventually it would be great to offer monthly workshops for every age group, but that's what we're doing now. And then we have summer workshops for 4th and 5th grade, middle school and high school.
So tell me more about the summer workshops. What's coming up this summer for kids?
So we have our, this year we're offering 3 summer workshops. We have 3 facilitators who are teachers in the community, college professor,
an ATIP teacher,
and a grad student at Western. And they will be leading the workshop. It's 1 to 5 Monday through Friday each workshop, and so they're small groups. We have about 10 to 12 students primarily in these workshops. And it's, 4 hours a day for 5 days. So 20 hours of writing in a week, and it's summertime. And we just get so excited because we've never had anyone complain like, oh, can we do something else? Or, we make it fun and exciting and engaging. And so the whole point of the workshop is we do a lot of different prompts, a lot of different writing activities. They're touching many different genres, maybe learning some new genres that they don't know about necessarily. We do a lot of reading with the genres too. So they're writing, we're walking through the neighborhood, we're just doing a lot of hands-on writing, collaborative small group stuff. And by the end of the week, they're picking 2 pieces that they really are attached to, that they really like. And then we workshop them. So we walk them through the process of, constructive criticism, editing, polishing, that sort of thing. And by the end of the week, they have 2 pieces that are ready to be in a publication. And so each workshop contributes to a publication. So we have a big book at the end of the summer, and we do a big public reading, and students come. It's at BookBug.
BookBug always hosts us. They're so generous with
that. Very supportive. Mm-hmm. And the students just feel, BookBug hosts authors year round. And so they're part of this author series that's hosted. And so it's very empowering for them. And it's wonderful. Community comes. It just gets bigger every year.
Emily and I cry through the whole thing.
Right. There's always tears. Because it is so moving. A student who comes in, like, I like to write, but this seems like a lot. And then by the end of the week, they're just so excited. And then when that reading comes along, and they have, like we've mentioned, their family, their friends, strangers, and they have a microphone and a stage, it's like, this is it. This is wonderful. So it's really fun. Yeah.
Wow. And you publish some of this work, yes? They're the individuals or like an anthology?
Yep. So okay. The 3 weeks together will become 1 anthology. The first year we had 2 weeks, and so we did a kind of a half and half, where one side of the book was middle school and one side was high school. And then this past year we had all 3 weeks, all 3 ages, and this year coming up we'll have 3 weeks again. And so it's a substantial book, it's a real book that's bound and has a cover and illustration.
That's got to be very encouraging.
Yes.
Too.
And they can tell their family and friends to go buy it at BookBug.
And by the end of the week at workshop, it's a fast frenzy of like making sure we have everyone's work. And so they're giving us notebook pages. They're like, can I email it? So it seems very abstract for them until they have like, oh, this is a real book. This is really exciting.
Graphic designers who generously volunteer their time to put it together in such a hurry.
Beautiful.
And get it printed up. And somebody's doing that right now for us as we speak, actually working on an anthology of some student work. So,
and is there a success story that moves you especially more than most that you like to tell people about? Somebody discovering their voice or maybe, in the aspect of writing is therapy,
Right.
Yes.
Yes. We have like a few, but there's a favorite, and I'll let Anne share it. But
there was a student in a program recently. It was a semester-long program, and he was, I think he's a 4th grader, and he showed up not interested in any way and spent many weeks telling us he was not interested. And about 6 weeks in, told the facilitator, the facilitator gave him an exercise, and the prompt was, if you could build any machine, what would it be? And so he wrote a paragraph about how he would build a robot that would stand next to him all day and say encouraging things. And right. We're just so moved by him feeling capable of expressing that, feeling safe to express that, and that is his dearest dream. And
it shows you a need in
his life.
It's
kind of been our icon since. Like, we want to be the encouragement robot. We want to embody that.
We want to physically make one, too.
Yeah, but we want to physically build a robot that encourages students. They can come in and press the button, and it says encouraging things.
But. That reminds me of what I've been hearing lately about almost like a developing movement of hashtag I want my teacher to know.
I wish my teacher knew. We hear a lot of stories.
When I read that, I wish my teacher knew. I was not at all surprised. I mean, those are the types of things when we're doing creative work with students.
A lot of stuff comes out.
And so we actually, we have an advisor who's a school social worker who keeps us aware of how to responsibly respond to some of these heavier issues that students are bringing to us.
Because I imagine a lot of these quiet children who may not be able to express something in writing, it's different. They can.
And you're surprised sometimes. Like, you give them a prompt or something, and you're expecting everyone to go one way with it, and then every student takes it their own way, and it's amazing to watch. And then you get things that are, like, moving and surprising and funny and sad, and then
they're surprised that you're moved by it. And that's empowering. That's interesting to you, or you care about that?
You want to know more about this?
Right.
So often we're just trying to get students to write more. And, you know, we'll do a prompt, they'll write a couple sentences, and it's us asking them questions, our volunteers working with them and asking them questions. And they're just often surprised. Like, okay.
You care about
that? I can write more about those. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had another student, too, who... She came to us in February with a reader's theater project that we did. So students came, we had some children's books, our theme was Black History Month. And they created scripts from these children's books that they'd read together. And then they performed them in front of an audience. And it was all in a day. It happened very quickly. And it was amazing. And we had one girl who came, and she just was very quiet at first. We never met her. And throughout the day, you just saw her opening up, and now her CIS site coordinator will send us messages all the time or videos, and she's just like, when's the next workshop? When can I see you? When is the next one? And so that is like, she's asking for it, and it's so exciting. So that's another motivating thing. I'm like, yes, we must keep doing this.
So I think you just mentioned CIS, Communities and Schools, right?
Yes.
So tell me about Literacy Buddies, Communities and Schools. You have some partnerships going on.
Yeah, so this has been an ongoing semester-long program, Literacy Buddies. We work with communities and schools. So it's Tuesdays and Thursdays at two different sites. We have a Parkwood site, Parkwood Upjohn Elementary, and then we have King Westwood Elementary. And then at each site, there are 20 elementary students and then 10 high school students. One from the group from Norix, Lori Norix, goes to Parkwood Upjohn, and the group from Central goes over to King Westwood. And they each have a couple students, and throughout the semester, they're there after school. They do homework help. They have a meal. And then Rock, we get there. And for an hour, we run a literacy-based, some games, some writing activities. And so the whole semester has been working toward this publication.
And the reading event, too.
And then there's a reading event that's going to be hosted at the high schools, where the elementary students get to go on the stage at the high school and read their work in front of an audience on stage. And we're just very excited for them. And they're just so excited, too. And just telling us, like, I'm going to read. Because, sometimes you ask kids, like, are you going to read your work? And, oh, no. Oh, my God. They all want to read. So it's very exciting. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
So you said that you have a lot of volunteers, that's basically your lifeblood here. So tell me more about the volunteers. And maybe somebody listening to this wants to be a volunteer.
I hope so.
What do you look for in a volunteer? And how do you become one?
Right. Well, we look for, we have all different ways to volunteer. We have people who come and they work with kids and then they say, this isn't for me. And so we say, okay, well, how about these things behind the scenes? So anything that somebody wants to contribute, we can find a place for. A lot of our workshops are one-on-one work with students. And so for that aspect of volunteering, we just ask that you're comfortable talking with kids. Which is a real hurdle for some people sometimes, and I understand that. But in the workshop, we create a safe space. Everybody writes together. Everybody shares their work. All the adults do, too. And so you have to be comfortable engaging in that way. we're also always looking for people who want to facilitate workshops, thematic workshops. And so, for example, Paul Sizer came and did a workshop with high schoolers about developing character for graphic novels. And then Meg Tang, who's a jewelry artist, came and made copper armbands with students, and we did poetry, and they tamped the poems into their copper armbands. And so we're always looking for ideas like that, where people can bring something that they're passionate about, and we can add a literacy element to it. And
really encouraging people to think outside of the box,
right,
as far as, like, you know, because it can be a little bit intimidating, like, well, I don't know how to teach writing, and that's what we want to do. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, we'll help people get to that point. But, you know, people are like, do you know how to build a robot? Do you have a fun thing that you've always, this art project that you've always wanted to do with people, and then or students or kids, and then we'll help as far as developing it into a project-based writing workshop. So
you don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be a writer. You just have to be somebody who wants to engage with other people in a positive way. So, yeah, there are all sorts of, and, you know, we have people who work on our website for us. We have graphic designers and illustrators who do all sorts of work for us. So there are all sorts of opportunities.
So where is your website, and where can people keep up with what your events are? Where can we learn more?
Our website is www.readandwritekzoo.org. And there you'll find our calendar. You'll find a volunteer application, and that would be where to start if you're interested in volunteering, filling that out. And it's detailed as far as what kind of things you're looking to get involved with, whether it be fundraising, like Anne mentioned, or, you know, just coming to workshops or planning a workshop. And then we have a proposal form for workshops. So currently we're prepping for fall programs. So if people are interested, now's the time to submit ideas, and then we'll help you get that part. Yeah.
Any cost involved for children who want to take part?
There's a suggested donation for all of the workshops, but we work with a pay what you can scale. And so
scholarships.
Scholarships are always available. We do not turn anyone down for inability to pay. And that's worked really well.
And we're on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter as far as reaching out to people. That's been really important as far as community outreach and support and showing what we're doing. We love to share photos from workshops, and I've made some videos with students and stuff. So those are good ways to find us and keep up too.
Sounds like a wonderful effort. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having
us. Emily.
Yes.